Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
Let's begin this morning by reading our text again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. The Lord writing, the apostle writing here again, says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you. We thank you and praise you for this day. Thank you and praise you for this time, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, that you would just help us to set our hearts aside, Lord, to hear you speak, Lord, your perfect word. Lord, I pray that you would just write these things upon our heart. We can be conformed in the image of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for those who are here this morning. I pray for those who are able to join us this morning for whatever cause, Lord. Pray for those who are ill, Lord. But Lord, more in particular right now, Lord, I pray that you receive the glory for all we should ever say or do, Lord, to give our own worthy of praise. And Lord, may you teach us contentment, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word, Lord. Pray in particular that you remove your servant now and allow your spirit to teach. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, our Lord God Almighty. Amen. So I know I've shared through the years a story or two about my grandma Nancy with you all. My grandma Nancy, my maternal grandmother, was probably one of the dearest people I've had in my lifetime. I shouldn't say that because I have a lot of dear people in my lifetime, but growing up, my grandma Nancy was the babysitter. She was the built-in surrogate mother when my mom wasn't available, so on and so forth, and that's where we spent a lot of our time at. Not just myself, my sister, but all of us cousins spend a lot of time with our grandmother. And what I want to share this morning in particular about her, and I can say with confidence that I learned a lot from her, but one thing I learned in particular from her was about being content. And how I learned how to contentment from her, really in all honesty, came from one example in her life, and that was her daily breakfast. Every morning that, as far as I can remember back, my grandma Nancy had the same breakfast every morning. And this is how I know she was content, because it started with a cup of Folgers Crystals instant coffee. Where the flavor crystals, and you can see them right in there. A scoop, and she'd have that with a piece of buttered toast and jam on it. And later on, she did spoil herself a little bit when I met Chandra and she became a part of our life. In particular, Chandra's mother's homemade jam. She brought one to my grandma one time, and my grandma, and you got to understand this, and maybe you guys can picture this a little bit. You remember in Oliver Twist that, "Please, sir, can I have some more?" That was my grandma Nancy. Chandra would show up, her jar would be empty, and she'd go, "That was good jam, Sherwood. You can't buy that jam in the store. No, you can't. Please, sir, can I have some more?" Now, why that taught me such about a contentment is because I so wanted to take care of my grandma. In particular, the Lord kind of straightened out my life and I got on the right track and he started to provide some income for me and Chandra and so on and so forth. I really wanted to take care of my grandma. She had done so much for me throughout my life. So I thought to spoil her one Christmas, because you guys know how important a good cup of coffee is to me. And so I thought to spoil her one Christmas, we went and bought a French press for her and went and got some good... Okay, I'm going to be careful I say this, because I'm not saying Folgers is bad. It's just not good. But we went and bought some good coffee. Anyway, we have no idea what's going on with that thing, guys, so we'll try something different next week. But we went and bought some good coffee. That being said, we gave her this, the French press. I explained to her how it worked. I mean, you had to make hot coffee for your Folgers flavor crystals anyway, right? Hot water, I mean. And so I said, "All you gotta do is make the same hot water. You put it into here, you press it, and it's good coffee, Grandma." "Oh, okay." She was so excited, so sweet. And so a month or so later, we went back over there to visit her, and I offered to make us both a cup of coffee. And she said, "Oh, yeah, that would be fine." And so I went to the kitchen, same coffee, same French press, never touched. I said, "Grandma, what are you doing?" She's like, "Well, I just really like the Folgers flavor crystals." I'm like, "I know you're a content woman, because if you would taste coffee..." She had not rejected our gift. She had just learned how to be satisfied with what she had. Does that make sense? She had learned how to just be content with what she already had. Praise be to God, she gave us the French press, and the coffee. So, anyway, this is the principle we're going to look at in our life this morning. What I want us to perceive, or what it is that you and I perceive, it is that we need to be content. I hope this morning's message is going to be encouragement to you. I know over the last several weeks I've been pinching toes and feet and shoes and stuff like that. And this week in particular, I hope that this is an encouragement to you as to where you're at right now in life and what contentment really is about and where we really find it. So let's just begin by looking this morning. I want to start with looking at the end of verse 5 from last week. Verse 5, if you would be, where it says to us, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, it's upon this principle the whole health and wealth gospel teachers, also known as the prosperity gospel, or also the name and claim it's, whatever you want to call them, this is upon this idea right here, this principle right here, if I can put it this way, this is what their entire gospel presentation, their entire ministry is built upon. If you have enough faith, you can be rich, have good health, get anything you want. God wants to bless you with things, these things, you don't just have to have enough, you do just have to have enough faith to receive it. So I find that an interesting idea, because honestly, based off what we're going to look at this morning, it's almost in direct contradiction to the Word of God. Because we'll understand that it's not great gain in this world, the things we perceive in this world, that really brings contentment. And I know that because of what our Lord actually said to us, and to build upon that heretical doctrine, this is one of those things that they'll take out of context from what our Lord said. In Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, we read these words. The Lord speaking, and Jesus saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, so whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. See, we read this passage and one similar to it, and presume what the Lord is teaching us here is that we can have all the desires of our heart if we have enough faith. That's what they do. Faith, belief, that's what that idea is, right? And I'm going to say they're exactly right. You can have all the desires of your heart if you have enough faith. Enough to make you know what? Yes. The key comes in understanding A, faith, and B, desire. Because the problem is the Lord is not teaching us there, if we take the whole counsel of God, which we will, first notice what just happened before he said this in Matthew there. If you're in Matthew, and I am not, so I'm going to turn there real quick. But if you're in Matthew, right before, or Mark chapter 11, notice what happens right before the Lord teaches this principle to them. And so we go back there. Now let's just pick it up in verses 20 through 21 of that same chapter. Mark chapter 11, verse 20 through 21. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And remember, they drove by a fig tree and the Lord killed it, right? And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. So first notice that this tree was not producing fruit, and so the Lord had removed it, if I can put it to you that way. So I hope you can see that the Lord was illustrating that the unfruitful things in life can be removed by the power of God. So let me make this personal with you for a moment, if I could. The things in your life that produce rotten fruit or are unfruitful to the kingdom of God, if you are willing to ask that God should remove them, he will. Just like he said, the mountain. See, some of us have a sin or an issue in our life that we think is too big for God to handle. I just can't overcome that. I can't give up this or X, Y, Z, whatever it is. I can't stop lying. I can't stop looking at those things. I can't stop. You just put whatever you want in there. Can't stop being greedy. Can't stop coveting. And what he's telling you is, no, look at off the illustration. This which was not producing fruit, it was unhealthy, it was bad, he got rid of, didn't he? And he's saying, I can do the same thing in your life if you should desire it. The question is, do you desire it? Do you really, or do you hold on to those little sin things and nurture them and pet them? Oh, it's not that bad. It's amazing to me. We have no problem looking at some of the more atrocious sins in the world, murder, things of that nature, right? And have no problem going, God, you need to deal with those people. But do you realize your little white lie is just as offensive to God? But we don't ask God to be removed from our life, do we? Well, it's not that big a deal. My greed, it's not that big of a deal. My covetousness, it's not that bad. Well, that's in direct contradiction with what the Lord would say. So those things in your life, and if you were so bold and comfortable to pray this, I would challenge you to do so. Lord, show me those things in my life that are a problem and remove them. Now, I tell you to be bold in that prayer and believe that he will. By whatever means he has to. See, that's the scary part, isn't it? See, we look at that fig tree and he dried up the roots and he killed it. What's he going to do in our life? What suffering, if I can put it to you this way, is he going to bring in our life? And we dare to pray, God, remove those things that are contradictory to you in my life. What would he do to you? That's what we're scared of, isn't it? But remember, he loves you. He's trying to perfect you. And he has nothing but good for you. Second, remember, I said, and I don't want, we have to take the whole counsel of God. And we'll be looking at that counsel all morning. But let's start here with this counsel. And this is where I said we're going to talk about faith and desire a little bit this morning, okay? Turn to me to James chapter 4 real quick. James chapter 4. Why don't we get the things we pray for? James gives us an answer. It's not necessarily because you don't have enough faith, meaning you're not a believer, all right? But look at what it says in James chapter 4. Verses 3 and 6, we read 3 through 6, which we receive. Ye ask, and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit dwelleth, that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. See, the problem with this kind of teaching, supposing that gain is godliness, is that we see even here that we are not asking, if I can put it this way, for the right things. We're asking for the things that we can consume upon our lusts. So in other words, our desires are wrong, aren't they? That's kind of what he's saying there. He's saying your desires are wrong. He says, why? He goes on, he says, that we can consume it upon our lusts, our desire. No, rather our lusts and our desires should be and will be healthy if we align our prayer life with God's will. And then he'll absolutely be answering those prayers, which is faith. Do you understand that? See, our faith, true believing faith is not aligning God to our life, it's aligning ours to God. And now all of a sudden our prayer life changes. Because I'm no longer praying for the things that I can consume upon my lust and my desires and the things that I want in this life. I'm praying for the things that God desires for me and what God would desire in my life. No matter what that is. And no matter what that looks like. And that is where we're going to discover true contentment is found. True contentment is not found in the things of this world. How do I know that? How many are familiar with J. Paul Getty? Anybody know that name? Some of us know that name. Some of you are too young to know that name. They don't teach it in history anymore. I get it. J. Paul Getty, probably one of the wealthiest men in America at one point. Actually, he was at one point the wealthiest man in America. And they did an interview with him because he was one of the wealthiest men in America. Said, now that you're the wealthiest man in America, what do you want to do? What do you want? Actually, was the question they asked. What do you want now? What do you want next? And you know what he said? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Wealthiest man in America says, all I want is just a little more wealth. See, I could tell you that the riches of this world produce emptiness. They don't produce contentment. They don't. Not true contentment. You may think, well, if I had all the money in the world, I wouldn't have the problems I have. Really? Well, if you only had enough faith, you could get it. That's what I'm going to tell you. But see, if you had enough faith, your desires would change. Because, and how we know that this is totally wrong, you remember when the Lord was teaching us how to pray, he started with God and ended with the Lord's will. Not his own. Even in the garden, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, if there was ever a man who walked the face of the earth that I believe probably had faith, I would think Jesus Christ would be him. And if Jesus Christ understood that his desire, his heart, remember when he prayed in the garden, he said, Lord, if there's any way, Father, if there's any way that the cup can pass from me, please, let's do that. And what, not, I'm paraphrasing obviously here, so don't get too mad at me, okay? But what was the Lord's response? No, there's no other way. But remember, he closed his prayer to his Father. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. What was he doing? He was aligning his desires, his heart's desires, with the Father's heart's desires. Are you willing to align your desires to God's desire for your life? That's really the question, isn't it? Do you really want what God wants for you, or do you want what you think you need? And I'm not asking you to answer the question. I don't want to show hands by how many, oh yeah, that's what I want. Not every given moment does anybody have this perfect. But the question is, as a whole, do you really want what God wants in your life, or do you only want what you want? What about the wealth of this world? Doesn't God want us to be rich? Yeah, of course, but not necessarily in the things of this world. You are, first of all, let me just tell you right now, each and every one of you who are sitting here this morning, you are rich. Whether you like it or not, you are. You realize compared to the majority of the world, that the majority of the world lives on less than 60 cents American money every day. 60 cents. You spent more than that driving to church this morning. So unless you think you're not wealthy, that's another sermon for another day. All right? But here's the problem. Do you think that you somehow deserve better than Jesus did in this life? Because when you start to look at the desires of your heart and compare them what the Lord Jesus Christ got in this world, you might find yourself a little humbled. You'll remember in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 58, they came to the Lord and it said, and it came to pass that as they went their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And I hope that's your prayer too. Lord, I will follow you wherever you take me. Lord, whatever you want for me, whatever you want for my life, Lord, I'll go. If it's Africa, I'm there. But he also reads the heart, so don't say, I want Hawaii. Lord, if you want to send me to Hawaii, I'm going to Hawaii. All right? He's going to send somebody who's claustrophobic and can't stand islands to Hawaii. I'm just teasing you. He wouldn't do that anyway. But the point of the matter is this. Jesus answered him, didn't he? And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I will follow you wherever you want me to go, Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. Whatever it is. Really, what if I tell you that what I have, if all I want to do is give you what I have, which is not even a place to lay my head, are you still comfortable with that idea? Are you still happy with that idea? Okay, well, let's do it within reason. Lord, I will go with you wherever that I have electronic devices available to me. Running toilets, indoor plumbing would be nice, right? Lord, I'll go you wherever you want me to go, as long as it fits with what I really desire. See, that's the problem. Most of us, our desire is the problem. Our desire is misaligned. Now, I told you I'm going to make this a happy one this morning. I hope I do by the time we're done. All right? Turn back in our text. Maybe you still are. Turn back in our text if you're not. Turn back in our text now to 1 Timothy chapter 6. See, you can have all the desires of your heart. And God may even give you wealth in this world. God may make you, put you on top. He may make you the next J. Paul Getty. All right? Or what would be a more contemporary one for most of us right now? The Microsoft guy, whatever his name is. Bill Gates. See, y'all know who that is. Bunch of heathens. Just teasing you. I'm teasing you. At least you didn't say Steve Jobs. Anyway. Anyway. Some of you caught that. That's good. Anyway. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. See, supposing that gain is godliness is supposing wrong. But godliness with contentment is real gain. This is what the apostle is teaching you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's the best gain you could possibly get. Meaning, Lord, I am satisfied no matter what you do for me. Lord, I'm happy with whatever I have. Now, that's a tough place to find ourselves. Guys, I'm not pointing fingers at you because I have fingers pointing back at me when I do that, right? Okay? We all have this issue. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness, so what the apostle would really be referencing here comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn with me there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What is this idea, this godliness with contentment? See, Paul would be talking about this moment in his life when he recognized what godliness with contentment really looked like. It came from this moment in his own life, in his own ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. It's a passage you're familiar with, but I want you to go there with me. You'll remember, I hope, at least as we read through this. It says in verse 7 there of chapter 12, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have commended of you. For in nothing I am behind in the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing." I know I went longer than I said I was going to. Notice that the Apostle Paul's heart changes here. He seeks the Lord. Now, I'm venturing to guess, and I'm not going to say 100%, but I'm willing to guess that Apostle Paul was probably a little more faithful than I am. I mean, honestly, he probably was. And I guess he's probably faithful, a little more faithful than most of you. And yet, when he prayed for his health and wealth, what did God say to him? "My grace is sufficient for you. You don't need anything else. You've got what you actually need. You're just not satisfied with it." This is where the problem lies. This is where the issue is. Because Paul wanted that all he really needed was the grace of the Lord. Note his words. The Lord uses grace is sufficient. That means it suffices. You need nothing else. That's what sufficient means. It's enough. So all we really need in this world, all we really need in life, is the grace of God. So all your heart's desire should really be is the grace of God. Everything else, your house, your family, your job, your cars, everything else are just blessings. Let's just remember what they really are. They're just blessings and fleeting blessings, because we're going to talk about this here in a minute, but you don't get to take them with you. You don't get to drive your new car in heaven. You won't have to. You don't have a new house. Matter of fact, I don't want the house. I mean, I love my home. Don't get me wrong, guys. But I don't want my house in heaven, because I know who's building my house. And that's the one I really want. I mean, all these things that we put so much stock and so much value to in life right now, is he's telling us, listen, all those things are fleeting. They don't really matter. What really you need and what you really should desire is just me. The grace that I've given you, that's all that you need to be sufficed. Well, okay, what I need is, matter of fact, I have this, if you've been to my house, I have, give me grace and good coffee, right? I like the sign because, you know, I like coffee, but honestly, I don't really need the coffee. You might think I need the coffee. I might think I need the coffee, but I don't need the coffee. All I need is the grace. All I need is the grace. Turn to me to Philippians chapter 4. I'm having you bounce around a lot, I know, so just... Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Listen to what Paul the Apostle, he recognized that all he needed was the grace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye also are careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I've learned how to be content no matter what. When I'm being abased, I'm content. When I'm abounding, I'm content. I've learned how to be full and to still desire more and to be content. I've learned how to abound and to suffer need. I've learned how to have a desire for other things, but learned also how to be content with what I have." That's really what he says. Because my contentment is not wrapped up in what I have in this world. My contentment is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. That's it. Do you know how freeing that is when you can get to that point in your life? And I'm not necessarily saying I'm there 100%, guys. I've glimpsed and touched it a couple times maybe. But you know how freeing that really is, that principle? If you right now settle in your heart that you have everything you need in Jesus Christ, and then everything else you get is just a blessing. You know that song, Count Your Blessings, right? Count your blessings, name them one by one. You can't do it. You know why? Because you'd have to start with the very breath that you breathe. I mean, you'd have to go on and on and on. Because everything you've gotten above and beyond the grace of God is a blessing. Because all you needed was the grace of God. That's all your heart's desires really should have been. Now, I'm not saying we can't have a desire for more. I'm not saying that you're sinful if, well, I want a new car. I'm not saying you're sinful if you want a new car. But what I'm telling you is, are you okay if you don't get one? Yes. That's what I'm telling you. What if the Lord took everything away from you? What's the one thing that will never be taken away from you? Your salvation is secured in Him. Think about Job. I mean, think about Job. Everything Job had taken away from him except for his Lord, and he kept his Lord, and that's all he needed, wasn't it? And in the end, he won. So even in this life, if it doesn't get restored to you, the Lord takes everything from you in this life. Everybody you can name as a loved one, all your friends, your family, your money, your house, your cars, your job, I don't care. Everything stripped away from you. All he leaves you with is him. That's enough. That's enough. That's all I need. That's all I need. I think I shared with you guys the story of the man I took to McDonald's in Las Vegas, Nevada, who carried his cross. He had a wheel on the bottom of it. Okay? But he literally carried a cross. I bought him a McDonald's one day. I wanted to kind of hear his story. I have to say, after talking to that man, I'm not necessarily agreeing with it. Everybody go take your cross and walk across the country with it hooked up to a wheel that rolls. All right? What I'm telling you is he was satisfied no matter what his life had. He was totally content with his Lord. He was absolutely content. He was thankful. I mean, I've never met anybody be more thankful for French fries in my life. He was so thankful the Lord provided for him the meal that day. But he would have been just as content without it. Some of us, we get discontent when we're in church and it goes a little long and my stomach starts to growl. Or choir practice goes long and so we're like, ugh! I'm not going to look at anybody in particular. I got to keep scanning the whole room. I mean, seriously, I get that way too. I get hungry. Right? We get hangry, right? We all make our excuse. We even have a new word for it. Hangry. Right? I'm hungry, therefore I get to be mean. All right. Moving on. Why does it matter? Well, remember, and I want to say this, okay, to you. We're in Philippians. You're still in Philippians with me, right? He says, I have learned in whatever state I find myself to be content, whether I have a bunch or I have a little, whatever the case may be, okay? Remember the very first memory verse I told you guys I memorized? Jump down to verse 19 of that same chapter, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, God knows what you really have need of. He knows what you really need. He really knows what the desire, when you break it right down, he reads the heart. He really knows what the desire of your heart is. And it's probably not the new car. I mean, how many times when the new baby's born do we just say, well, praise God, they're healthy. We're just sad. You know, people, when somebody's pregnant, all I want them to be is healthy. We'll be satisfied if they're healthy. What if they're not? You're not going to be satisfied with that child? I mean, I don't know what the test is called, but when they take out the ambionic fluid, right? I'm sure I'm butchering the medical language here right now, but that's okay, because I'm not a doctor. Okay? Although I play one on TV, I'm just kidding. Okay. But I'm not a doctor, but nonetheless, they take out that fluid and they test it, and they can tell you what problems your child is going to have, right? Whether they're going to have Down syndrome, stuff like that. I get so offended that people would do that. I'm going to be honest with you. I get so offended that people would do that. What does it matter? if God gives you a child that, and I'm not being cruel here, but if God gives you a child that's a lump, praise God. Praise God. Why? Because he gave you a child. There's somebody who doesn't even have one. And he counted you worthy of that child. You ever think about it that way? See, so many people try to act like, well, my child is not perfect like every other child I see. Well, good news. Those children aren't perfect either. Trust me, I've watched them grow up. They're not perfect either. But God gave you the child that he needed to give you because he gave you the child that you could handle and that needed you. No matter what's going on with that child. Praise God. See, he knows what you have need of. And by the way, when he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, we mistake what the riches of God really look like. Because we sit there and we look at the riches of God and go, well, gold is rich. Isn't gold rich? If I have all the gold? Yeah, and you know what we do with gold in heaven? We walk on it. It's pavement. Pearls. Pearls are wealthy. Yeah, let's make gates out of those. I mean, seriously, we get it all messed up. What really matters and what really is rich in this life, and you have, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ right now as your Savior, you have all the wealth you will ever need. You have everything. It's all yours. And by the way, blessings upon blessings, you're a co-heir with Christ. Christ, God Almighty, in the flesh. You get to inherit everything that's his. Guess what that is? Everything. Wow. So the next time you're driving by that Camaro, don't go, oh, if only I had. I don't want a Camaro. I want the Chariot of Fire. That sounds cool to me. Right? I'm just teasing you. Paint flames on Chandra's car. All right. It reminds me, though, back in our text now, we read these words. Why is it so important for us to recognize that all we really need is Jesus Christ? All we need is the grace of God? Because that, by the way, and I'm hopefully going to give you an illustration or a point here in a minute that you'll resonate with and to point out how wealthy you really are. Verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. All right. It reminds me of an illustration or a cartoon that they did about J.D. Rockefeller when he died. Okay? I know, I wasn't alive with J.D. Rockefeller. He wasn't my contemporary. I just happened to be kind of one of those old souls who know things, right? Old people. Okay? Yeah, Eddie laughs. He tried to teach me how to use my phone last night, so. Anyway, okay? Reminds me of the cartoon I saw after he died. And they did it, you know how they do those political cartoons? Okay? And they did a political cartoon for J.D. Rockefeller. And it said in the cartoon that showed all his family sitting in the room, and the lawyer comes out of the room after J.D. Rockefeller had passed away, and it said, how much did he leave? And to which the lawyer responded, he left it all. He took nothing with him. See, in this life, we have confidence the Lord will provide our needs. But we recognize that we don't take anything with us. As a matter of fact, do you realize that you only have one thing, aside from your own self, there's only one thing that you'll ever run into in this world that you could potentially help to take to heaven? You guys know what that is? Well, turn your head. Seriously, turn your heads. Look back and forth, look around the room. See all those people around you? Those are the only things in this world, aside from potentially yourself, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you can help to take to heaven. Is other people. That's it. That's all you get. So you can have all the wealth in the world and nobody goes to heaven with you. You just leave it for them to spend. I'd rather take them with me. I'd rather take them with me. I can't imagine my worst enemy in hell. I'll be honest with you. I don't know who my worst enemy is. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to push this, how much you guys appreciate me today. We're going to go about another hour and a half. I tease. I'm not going that long. Just an hour. Okay, so Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31. Listen to what the Lord's providing for our needs. Luke chapter 12, 22 through 31. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I said unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat, neither of your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, but God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of the you taking a thought can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful in mind. For all things do the nations of the world seek after. All these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. What things are going to be added to you? Your food and your clothing. He's going to take care of you. All he's asking you to do is seek after him. Let him provide it for you. And when God provides it, it's such a beautiful provision. I've watched people go finance themselves to the hilts, getting a ton of credit card debt because they're trying to provide more, I need more. If they would just wait on the Lord and let him provide their actual need. And that provision is so much more precious than anything I could possibly come up with. Kind of sounds a lot like our last verse this morning, 1 Timothy 6:8. We are closing, I promise. 1 Timothy 6:8 says these words to us. And having food and raiment in, let us therewith be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And if we're godly, we're seeking after the Lord, he's going to provide our food and raiment in. And that's all we really need, is him to take care of it. Does that make sense? That's it. All I want is him to take care of it. But I want to talk about one thing here, just kind of because the Lord shared this with me towards the end of my studies. How does being content with food and raiment lead us to godliness? You ever think about that? Well, I'm going to tell you how. Seek ye first, right? 1 Peter, and I'm going to share these verses with you real quick. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so, you have tasted the Lord is gracious. There's your food. The word of the Lord. Eat it. It'll bring you to godliness. God will take care of the rest of the things. Isaiah 61, 10 through 11. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Oh, my soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as the bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bring forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. What do we want to be clothed in? The righteousness of God. See, our food is the word of God. Our clothing is the righteousness of God. Now, I'm not telling you to come here next week and go, I'm clothed in righteousness and be, you know, bearing it all. Okay? Feel free to put some clothes on. Because he provided them for you, so put them on. All right? But the point of the matter is this, is are you really content with God? And here's my hope for you guys, and this is why I want to encourage you this morning. You have, right now, as you sit here, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't, then let's get that settled right now. All right? And what I mean by getting that settled right now is if you've never trusted an only Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross for your salvation, if you're adding anything whatsoever to that, he said when he died on the cross, it is finished, to tell us that, meaning it's done. Everything that you need to be saved is done at that moment. You don't need any more. All you got to do is accept that free gift of salvation. All right? And he'll even give you the faith to do so. He'll show you the passages in Ephesians that tell you that. Trust in him as your Lord and Savior. That's it. And he will take care of the rest. The rest is on him. My child can expect to eat in my home, and then I'm going to provide food for him. Why? Because he's my child. My child can expect I'm going to buy clothes for him because he's my child. But honestly, I mean, I love you guys as kids, but they shouldn't come to me expecting to get fed. They probably will, but they shouldn't come to me expecting it. All right? And they can come and get clothed. Actually, some of your kids are small enough I could clothe them three times over with one of my shirts. All right? But I don't have to provide that for them. Does that make sense? They're not my child. But once you're his child, he will provide for you. That's it. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, you've never trusted in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to settle that right this moment. And it's not tough, by the way. It's simply going, Lord, I'm no longer trusting in my abilities and what I can do to prove my salvation and my worth to you, because I recognize I'm not worthy. And now I'm putting my trust in you and your completed work on the cross, your death, burial, and resurrection. And that is what is going to buy me eternal life. Believe. Good sirs, it asks in Acts 16, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe. That means to put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's it. And once you're saved, you're now his child, and guess what he's going to do for you? Provide your needs. He's going to provide your needs. You don't have to worry about the rest of it. You can be sit here this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and be completely content, because you know that the God of all creation, the God of the universe, is going to take care of you. Now, he may not take care of you the same way that you think you need to be taken care of. My son thinks I need to provide a lot more for him than I do. Right? Every child has done that. He may not take care of me the way that I think I should be taken care of, but he's going to take care of me. He can provide all my needs. And that is where true godliness and true contentment comes from. And that's when desire and faith match up. I believe, and all I desire is what you have for me, Lord. And I'm satisfied. So this morning, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, go away satisfied this morning. And know that everything that you think you're lacking in this life, you're not. He just hasn't given it to you yet, or he's not going to, because he knows what you really have need of. Don't have to strive for the better things in this life. You don't have to try to get the bigger houses and the better cars and things like that. You don't have to strive for those things. If he wants you to have those things, he can provide for them. You need a different job, he's going to provide it if he actually thinks you need a different job. If not, be content with the one that he's given you. Oh, I know, that's tough. Right? I'm not telling you can't go apply and look for other jobs. What I'm telling you is just be happy with the fact the Lord's providing for you the way he has already. With the family you have, with the friends you have, with the church you have. Be satisfied with those things. I mean, I know I'm going to probably step on some toes right here. And that's okay. All right? You all know I homeschooled my child. Okay? And I know why the Lord had us homeschool my child now more than I ever did. But I'm going to tell you right now, we also live in a nation where we have education available for free. There are people in the world who will never even be able to crack a book or see one. I mean, God has so blessed us in particular in this nation and provided so much for us in this nation. And I'm not sitting here telling you whether or not you have to put your kids in public school. That's between you and your child and your spouse or whoever else making the decision. I'm not telling you those things. What I'm telling you is God has so provided for us in this nation, but yet we sit there and go, but I want more. I get so tired of it. When are we going to learn to be content with the fact that we have him? Him. Lord, take my life. Take everything from me. And don't give me, God, you know how much I love my son and my wife. I do. I can't imagine life without them. But if God was to choose to take my wife and my son, I still would have him. And that's all I need. That's all I need. And he'll take care of everything else that I think I need. He'll give me the real desires of my heart. So, my encouragement to us this morning, brothers and sisters, is this. God is providing for you. He started in the garden. He confirmed it on the cross. And he's doing it today. You have nothing to worry about. So be content. Be satisfied. Be filled up because you received his grace.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.